3, 2, 1 action. Is that it? What's it? Lights, camera, action.
I don't remember the beginning.
I don't begin the.
I remember the end.
I don't remember the ending. Beginnings. 1, 2, 3 action. 3, 2, 1 action. And lights, camera. 3, 2, 1 action.
I never remember the beginnings, only the ends.
That's good. Welcome to the Month of Movies podcast for June 2014, episode 6.
This is halfway through the year.
Halfway through the year. Are we halfway through our goals?
We'll find out in this podcast.
What's going to happen in this? In case you're jumping in now, which would be weird, but helpful. This year we're gonna each month my brother and I go over each month all the movies we watch in a month and talk about them a little bit and how we rate them. My special goal though is I have a deck of cards with according to That's Entertainment the top 52 movies of all time. And I'm gonna try to watch all those in a year.
And I bought a box set of Blu-ray movies of the 50 best Warner Brother movies of all time, and I'm going through all 50 of them through the year, so that comes out to be about one a week.
And mine as well, for one a week, 52.
Yeah.
Last episode, I was very far behind. This month, I'm ahead of schedule.
Yeah, I I was really close, because I'm only like 1 week behind, but not really, because of... like, the last week of June is obviously the first week of July.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, like, Monday or Tuesday. No. Monday? Was the first on Monday?
This is the fourth, and it's Friday.
Okay.
So Tuesday
was the first? Like, but anyway, so there's, like, the last week of June is, like, 2 days. And I watched a movie, but it ended up being on the 1st of July.
Oh.
So technically, I am caught up. But you're not going to hear all the movies because it was at the tail end of the month / beginning of the next month. But, yeah, so I finished 24 of my 50 movies.
Uh-oh, I don't have my thing. I don't have that part ready.
But, yeah, so.
Oh, I watched 26 plus... 3, 2. I've watched 28 of my 52 movies.
Holy shit, you're farther than me.
I know. But anyways, I'll start since you. I watched 11 movies this month.
I watched 5.
And of my 11, 10 were on my list.
Out of my 5, 3 were on my list.
So I've loved.
And out of my 5, 4 of them I've seen before.
I've seen one of these before. So I 10 new movies for me.
And the one I didn't see was one I watched because I felt like watching a movie I didn't see.
Yeah.
And it wasn't on my box set.
the one movie that wasn't on my list was one of the worst ones I watched all month. So that helped. Anyways, I'm going to start out with the first movie I watched of the month was Chinatown.
I never saw that one.
Roman Polanski movie. Jack Nicholson.
Roman Polanski.
But Jack Nicholson stars as a detective, and it's... I mentioned
it's the prequel to Big Trouble in Little China.
No, it's not.
Town.
No. I'm like, no way. This has nothing to do with it. But anyways, Jack Nicholson works as like a private detective, and some lady comes to him and saying, hey, my husband, he's like the guy in charge of the water supply type thing, and he's like, people want to make a dam in the town, and he's like, no, we can't dam up the town because then it'll fuck up the whole water supply and it'll be hard to get and stuff like that. And they're like, oh, okay, that's cool. So he's like, so he starts following the guy, ends up the guy gets murdered, and he's trying to figure out who did it, for what reasons, and it's really suspicious on how he died and blah 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 blah, and he's trying to figure out all the stuff that goes around the case. Really cool movie. I liked the way that the and it was one of those movies where, and obviously I don't want to spoil anything, but like the way the movie ends is one of those where it wraps up the story of the movie, but not everything as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Like life.
Yeah, like life. Where it's like the story wraps up in a sense, but like nothing is, like not everything's achieved, if that makes any sense. But no, it was really cool. I've been really getting into, I really want to watch more detective type movies because of that. Like, it was really cool. I liked it a lot. I give it an 8.5.
Nice.
Jack Nicholson is just awesome in general.
So that means that you are going to buy it.
I probably will buy it eventually if I see it somewhere cheap. But yeah, I'd watch that again. I liked it a lot. Yeah, it's one of those. Yeah, it's a detective movie, so I wanted to say like all the stuff that goes into it. But like, yeah, right. He was awesome at acting. The main girl was really good at acting, and it was just it was good. I think it was Jessica Lange.
Was Jack Nicholson like really young in it?
Kind of youngish. I don't remember when the movie came out, but he was like youngish.
Like Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest young. Like, around that same time.
It was probably after that, but like I want to say before Shining, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd have to look at IMDb, and I don't want to. The next movie I watched was Network.
Oh, yeah, I saw that one.
And, yeah, I was talking about that. And
the TV station.
Yeah, the TV station, but, like, that's the one where I'm as mad as hell as I'm not going to take it anymore. And you're like, I don't remember that part in
it. I do remember it.
I'm like, they repeat that 80 times in that movie.
Is that the one with, I watched two movies that were very similar. One was Network, I don't remember what the other one was. But is this the one with Joan Cusack?
No. I think it's Jessica Lange again. Like, I watched like five movies with Jessica Lange. Like, she was the main girl in Chinatown, she was in Network, and then later on...
Well, there wasn't a main girl, she just ran the tape.
No, that's not it. This is the one about a guy who's a news reporter, and then, like, right at the very beginning, they brief up, like, oh, his wife and him are going through divorce, because he started becoming an alcoholic, and he was kind of less trustworthy on stage. Like, all right, we're going to let you be on the network for, like, two more weeks, and then we're going to let you go, so you can start wrapping up your retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes on stage, like, tune in next week when I blow my brains out on camera. And everyone's like, what the fuck did he just say? And then, like, the ratings started going up, and they're like, oh, well, let's keep him around, because, like, maybe he'll, like, start, and then, like, goes into that whole, like, tirade of, like, oh, you have to tell everyone, I'm as mad as hell, I'm not going to take it anymore, like, yell at your windows and stuff, and... People started doing that and like, wow, the rings are really going up. So they wanted.
Guess I didn't see this one.
So they want to like give him his own show because he's just fucking insane. And it's like, it's really weird. But then it starts, I'm like, and that part was really cool. I'm like, oh, I like where this is going. But then it switched over to the way you're like, oh, we want to get ratings and this is what we do for ratings. And then I started following those characters more. I'm like, this isn't entertaining. But like the way that movie ends, I'm like, that just seemed to, like, it just seemed like to get. It escalated very quickly. To quote Will Ferrell, he's like, it's like, wow, that just like the last 10 minutes, like, let's do this, okay. I'm like, what? But like I said, the beginning part was entertaining, but then the movie was like another hour and a half of just I was bored. So I give it about a 6. I mean, it was worth it ish to watch, but I wouldn't.
I guess I didn't see that one. I just looked on IMDb. Broadcast News is the one I was thinking of.
Yep.
Not Network.
No.
Those are two different movies.
Completely different movies. But yeah, Network is goddamn it, what's his name? And yeah, the bunch of people in it. So
I guess I haven't seen Network then.
Yeah.
That's probably why I don't remember the
It's
mad as hell, I'm not gonna take it anymore thing.
Yeah, because then they like start each of his episodes of his show going, I'm as mad as hell, I'm not going to take it anymore. And they're always like cheering with him and stuff like that. And it's just...
Jerry. Yeah.
But it's so weird. I don't know. Yeah. It's weird. The next one I watched... you can go one of yours. The next one I watched was The Hustler. And I forget the character... The actor's name. Paul Newman?
Is that a Western?
No. It's a pool shark movie.
I was going to say poker, but...
No. It's... It's Paul Newman.
Oh yeah, because he pretends he's really bad at pool.
Yeah,
and then
he grips people and like, oh yeah, like you can do the shot. Nah,
never
like,
seen it, but it's been referenced a lot.
Yeah, but yeah, it's pretty good at first. And then what's the guy from I think Honeymooners is in it. That's not right. Not Honeymooners. Fuck. But Jackie Gleason is in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Honeymooners. Shit. Yeah, Jackie Gleason is in it.
I was like, I had the good in my head.
Yeah, but it was weird because, like, he plays this, like, really well-known pool player called Minnetonka Fats. And, like, Minnetonka Fats. So then, like, Paul Newman's like, all right, Fats. I'm like, he's going to get mad at you if you keep calling that. But it's like, oh, that's his name.
Hey, Fats.
But it's like special guest is him. But so what happens at the very beginning of the movie, like, you find out he's a pool shark. And he's like, oh, he hustles people. Like, he, like, really... plays poorish, and then he shows him how good he is once the bets go up. And then That happens for about, I don't know, half an hour, 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just, he goes away from pool for a long time. And he's like, oh, meets this girl, and she's fucking weird and alcoholic and crazy. But he's like, I think I love her, and he's going off in this whole little romantic charade. And like, okay, this is not hustling pool anymore. But then, like, he tries to get money, so then he goes into hustle pool, and they find out he's hustling them, so they break his fingers. And then he spends the rest of the time with her, like, healing up and, like, spending time with her and stuff like that. And then eventually, near the end, he's like, I need more money. So he, like, goes to hustle pool again to make more money. And then, like, and then everything just kind of...
But everyone knows
goes into effect. I know, but like, it was like, oh, this is a decent movie, but like the last like 20 minutes are it's just like the emotion that movie just like builds up, and like, oh, okay, shit, like Paul Newman, like I can see why he's a really good actor now. Like everyone's like, because the first part is like, oh, he's just playing pool, but then like eventually where just the emotions and everything kicks in, he's just going crazy. Like I feel so bad for him. Like, fuck, he deserves this, like what he wants and stuff like that. And but yeah, it's another one of those movies where like movies back then, like back in, not back then, it makes me feel like I'm making fun of people from the 70s and 60s, and well, I think Hustler was like the 50s or whatever, I could be wrong, but like plots weren't, it wasn't just, hey, we need you to deliver this to New York, and then it's just them delivering to New York. It's like it's progressing story, like, and it's constantly changing throughout the whole movie, so you can't just be like this, then this, then this, then this, and then that's the whole movie, you know? But, I don't know, it was a good movie. I don't know if I'd watch it again, but I gave it a 7, because by the end of it, like, watching it, I was like, this isn't that great. But then once it was over, I'm like, that was a really good movie, and I thought about it a few days afterwards and stuff like that. But, yeah, I give The Hustler a 7. Good job, Mr. Newman.
Mr. Newman and Gleason. 61. Sorry. 1961.
Oh, so, yeah, that's still that was like at least 20 some years before I was
like
born.
I had to rewrite this, because if you just type in Hustler,
ooh, the porn star.
I mean, magazine?
Yes, I'm sure there's probably a porn star with the name Hustler in their last name.
Yeah,
like Randy Hustler, that could be a girl's name. Don't think I'm jumping to guys right away.
Hustler sounds like more of a guy's.
Yeah, but Jenna Hustler, it sounds like she's really like,
she's
milfy.
Yeah, she's milfy. I would say bulky.
Oh, I was thinking like, I've had my time around town. I'm Jenna Hustler. I don't know.
I'm gonna snap you in half.
Ooh. All right.
Oh, and then my first movie I watched, I've seen a bunch of times, and it's The Breakfast Club, which I love. I love that movie. Yeah. In case you've never seen The Breakfast Club. It's about a bunch of high school kids who get sent to detention on Saturday. All day they're in the library in detention. Each one is like from a different clique. Mm-hmm. So you got like the smart kid, the pretty girl, the jock, the freak, and then like the troublemaker and stuff. And they're like all in one room. And it basically shows like how different people are, but how similar they are at the same time.
They're not all that different after all.
Yeah. But it's kind of cool because, like, when you're watching it, they're like, oh, and then they go in and, you know, they're, like, in detention. But then as the movie goes, you slowly realize why they're there.
Yeah.
I mean, Molly Ringwald, Claire, that character, you know right away, because he says when he drops her off that she skips school to go shopping. Mm-hmm. But like some of the other people you find out while they're there, and then like, yeah, there's connections and stuff. It's a really good movie. Yeah. I like it a lot.
Well, also it shows like that everyone has their own thing, like, and everyone thinks everyone is so cool, but everyone has their own breaking points too.
Mm-hmm.
Like everyone has their own weaknesses, but you just don't see them on a gradual, like, right. Yeah, like, yeah,
it's like stereotyping, but you realize, wow, we do have a lot in common, because mm-hmm. you just automatically stereotype, oh, that's the jock, he gets all the girls, and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. But he has a bad household, and a lot of, you know,
mm-hmm.
not household, not jock. No. Pressure, he's, yeah.
Yeah. Get a little stress and stuff.
I was confusing Estevez with Nelson.
No, he gets, yeah. But, yeah, I love that movie. I think I bought it, like, 3 times, because I got it on VHS, got it on DVD, And then I got it on Blu-ray. Yeah. That was not one of my 50 movies, but I watched it.
Oh, well, that wasn't one of your 50 movies?
No,
oh.
I just watched it because I wanted to see it again.
I thought it was in there.
Nope. Hmm. I just watched it because I wanted to watch it.
And I always see funny jokes that are like, nowadays if Breakfast Club was made, it would be a completely different movie.
Everyone would be on their cell phones.
Yeah, the attention. But like also like, clicks are so different nowadays, I think, too.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I still feel like you still probably have the smart kid. You probably still have the jock. You probably still got the prom queen. You probably still got the troublemaker.
And the freak is just a hipster now.
Yeah. Well, they're still freaks. They could be goth. Yeah. They could be, I don't know.
Yeah.
But
what'd you give that?
Oh, that one I gave a 9.5.
What?
Because I love that movie. And, yeah, that's the highest movie I have this month. Obviously, I must really like it if I bought it 3 times.
Yeah. It's like me and Jaws, which I'm saving for later this year, so I don't know. I don't know when I'm going to do it, but when I do...
Is that on your list?
Yeah, it's on my list. That's why I'm so excited. I bought that movie like 5 times, honestly. the next movie on my list...
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping to watch more TV than I did by the time I watched this movie,
mm-hmm.
but I got into Bates Motel, the show.
Yeah.
And I was hoping to watch season 2 by the time I watched Psycho, but I only got to season 1, and it gave enough background for me for this movie. Unfortunately,
it's not like the movie at all.
It's very close, but there's a few small details that kind of change things over, but So I watched Psycho. I've watched it in college many, many years ago. And unfortunately, it's one of those movies where... and if you haven't seen it before, we're going to spoil it because we want to talk about stuff. But if you haven't seen it, I wish I didn't, because watching it, I would love to have known. Tried to figure out what was going on while I was watching it.
Mm-hmm.
But Psycho is about a guy who... Norman Bates, who owns the Bates Motel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's him and his mother that live in operate the hotel. And a girl ends up...
It's dead.
Yeah.
She gets killed.
She
right at the beginning of the movie.
Not even.
No?
Like, I just say not even, but, like, it's a good half hour in.
Oh.
It's, like...
Because, I mean, the whole thing is, like, this girl dies, and then the cops come to investigate it.
Mm-hmm.
That's, like, the movie.
Yeah. But have you actually seen the movie?
Yeah, I saw it in college, but that was a long time ago.
Me too, but I don't remember how, like... Because what happens was when Edgar Allan Poe, Jesus Christ, was his name?
Alfred Hitchcock
hired the main girl that gets killed in the shower.
Yeah, because she's a huge actress.
Like, yeah, a huge star. Like, oh my God, she's going to be in this movie. And then she gets killed like before the halfway mark. People are like, what the fuck happened? but yeah, it's like she gets killed. And then like she steals money from her employer. And like they're trying to track her down. And
that's right, yeah.
And then like she's missing, so they don't know she's dead. So they're just trying to track her down because she stole, back then, $40,000, which was a shit ton of money back then. And they're trying to track her down. The private eye gets killed
mm-hmm.
and goes missing. So it's, like, up to the girl's sister and the guy, she's like, her boyfriend. And they're trying to figure out what's going on. And obviously, for spoilers, because you haven't seen Psycho, Norman Bates'
nuts.
Mother, he's not, he's nuts. But his mother, he killed her many years ago, and he just has her psyche running through his own mind. So, like, watching Bates Motel, some of the similarities, like, I was like, oh, I want to see how, because I watched the first season, I'm like, I can see how he slowly develops, and I can see how it relates to the movie. Anthony Perkins, like, I don't want to say he plays a great Norman Bates. He does, but obviously the show came after, but, like, those I could totally see those two characters
being the same person.
Mother! But, yeah. But in the book... I mean, sorry, in the movie... I read the book years ago, but I can't remember as many details. But in the movie, they build the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
In the show, they bought it. And then also, his father died when he was, like, 5 years old in the movie, but he's, like, a teenager in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then, they have the whole thing where, like... Oh yeah, we don't get much traffic through here since they moved the highway
bypass.
And stuff like that. The bypass and
do have that in the movie.
Yeah, he awesome. Mentions it. He's like, yeah, it's slow. It's not a lot of people drive past since the highway bypass moved, and all this other stuff with that. But yeah, it's cool, but it's really weird because it's an Alfred Hitchcock movie. So like I know the plot and all the main points of the movie. So I was mm-hmm. waiting for those to happen,
mm-hmm.
but it takes place over the whole movie, and then at the very last 10 minutes.
You find them.
You find, like, they, like, oh, yeah, the rest of them and stuff is, like, and, like, they're explaining to the sister and the guy, like, what happened. He's like, well, Norman Bates, when he was this, and they basically explain the whole, like, his whole psyche at the very end, like, oh, when he was doing this, and his mother would take over, and this, and this, and basically just explained, like, all the reason, like, the reasoning why he Norman is like that. It's like, well, that's weird. But, yeah, as a, overall, I rewatched it again, I'm like, this is such a fucking good movie. I gave it an 8. I'm gonna buy that movie, too. Yeah, and of course...
I kind of want to get the Alfred Hitchcock collection.
Yeah, because he does great movies. He does some great movies. But yeah, and also, yeah, that's the 1957 version, not... Is it 57? Anyway, it's the old version, not the Vince Vaughn remake in, like, the 2000 or 1999.
Which angered a lot of people.
Yeah. So yeah, 8. The next movie I watched, Schindler's List. Now, I put this one off because it's a 3-hour-15 movie.
Oh, you still got Ben-Hur to watch.
I know. But I'm like, but yeah, Ben-Hur, Schindler's List is like, yeah, all I knew about it was it takes place during World War II.
A lot of Jewish people die.
And I'm like, this is not going to be entertaining for over 3 hours. It was a great movie.
Yeah.
It was really good.
See, I feel like some of those movies and stuff, like when we're in high school and stuff, it's like being forced to watch historical things like I don't know, like
Memphis Belle and Roots and all.
But I'm just saying, like, now that we're older and this history stuff isn't forced on us, we're more interested in it than when it's forced on us. Probably because now it's in small doses, where then it was just like every day, because I'm like, oh, history stuff, blah blah. But now, like, I'm kind of interested in a lot of the historical stuff, like Lincoln.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's no way in heck I would have watched Lincoln normally.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, yeah, I'm like, oh, I want to see it. And I watched it, and I was like, you know, it's a historical movie and stuff, but it was really good. But yeah, when I was in high school, the only reason I would watch it is if I was forced to.
Yeah.
And now I'd do it by choice.
Yeah.
So yeah, I could see, like, Schindler's List being that kind of thing.
And, well, the good point, though, too, is main character is Liam Neeson. Liam Neeson's awesome. And then Ralph.
I didn't realize it.
And then Ralph Fiennes is also, like, one of the main other actors. So it's like, it's like.
I remember when they showed.
Taken versus Voldemort.
I remember when they showed that movie on TV uncut. And that was that was huge, very risky, but they're like, it's such a powerful movie.
Yeah, it was good. Good job, Steven Spielberg. But I didn't know what Schindler's List was, like the list.
The list is of the Jews, isn't it?
Certain Jews.
That they,
But like, it's not until like the last third of the movie that he finally makes Schindler's List. But, and the thing is, it's weird because the whole time you're rooting for a Nazi. Oscar Schindler, actually, obviously this is a real story, but they probably hyped some things up for the movie, maybe. But Schindler is a guy who's like, he doesn't like the whole just killing people because they can. So what he does is he hires a bunch of Jews, or Jewish people, I feel bad saying Jews. He hires a bunch of Jewish people to work in a factory making, like, cookware, like pots and pans and stuff like that, because he's like, hey, cheap labor, free labor, we don't have to cost as much, and like, he just makes a killing. But then, like, the whole thing where Hitler's like, hey, start wiping out these, you know, these people and stuff like that, and like, even more so, and the Nazis were like, yeah, whatever, oh, he's going too slow, bang, make the other people work harder. And he's like, they're really going way too far with this. So then he starts, like, I want these people to work in my factory. And so that, and he starts, like, pulling all these people, like, I want these people in my factory. And so basically what he does, like, you know, partway through the movie, he ends up buying each of the Jewish people with his money to work at his factory. And that's what the list is like, the people that he's not
hired.
So he, like, uses, like, all his money to just pull all these people into his factory to work for him so they don't die. But it's, like, over the span of the war where he's, like, we're slowly, like, you see him going, okay, this isn't right. No, this really isn't right. You guys are fuckers. Do this. You're being too cruel. And it's, like, you know, all this other stuff. But, yeah, there's just spots in the movie where it's just 15 minutes of the Nazis just killing people. And you're, like, sitting there wide-eyed and, like, oh, my God. this shit happened. Like, obviously we know it happened, but it's like, to see it, and it's just done so ruthlessly, like, just like, they don't have a care in the world. Like, oh, he's, oh, there you are, bang. It's like, you just shot 7 kids. What the fuck is wrong with you? But it was really powerful, and then at the very end, like, they showed the real life, like, some of the real life people that worked for Oscar, and they visiting his grave, and like, each one's putting like a stone on it. It's like, blah, 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 these people, like, I recognize them in the movie, and all stuff like that, and I'm just like, I want to cry now, you know?
Yeah.
It was really good. I feel like I could watch that again, 3 hour 15 movie. I have goosebumps right now. But yeah, that was a 8.5, I say. Good movie. Really good. I wouldn't have... Yeah.
Whoops.
I
watched Clockwork Orange.
I saw it years ago.
Yeah.
Probably nothing in...
I saw it a long time ago, too. And, yeah, this is the first movie I watched from my box set this month. And rewatching it... I guess I... Like, I forgot... Like, most of the stuff in the movie. Like, the stuff I remember, I thought was a lot later in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because, yeah, they're, like, running around being ruffians and stuff like that. And I remember the giant, like, penis statue.
Yeah, he beats her to death.
I thought that was later in the movie, but that was, like, at the beginning.
Really?
Yeah, because, like, I mean, the movie is about a bunch of kids who are, like, bullies, and they're just, like, going around doing what they want and stuff.
Or ruffians.
Yeah, ruffians. And he's like, you know, he breaks into this lady's house, she catches him, and he kills her, and then he gets sent to jail or prison or whatever, and then like the whole movie is like trying to reform him.
Yeah, which is the creepiest scene ever in a movie I've seen.
Yeah, where they like keep his eyes open, force him to watch movies, and they just keep putting these drops in his eyes.
But the fact that like it's not even movie magic, they've put like these metal things in his eyes to keep them open, like you just see him like
But
no,
yeah, I mean, it was a good movie, like it was a very well made movie. I just get a little angry because there's so many people like, I love this movie, because they're like they're ruffians,
yeah,
so they look at them as idols, and I'm like, you guys missed the complete point of this movie. Like,
just drinking milk.
Yeah, we're drinking milk, we put the mascara on one eye, and, like, we're all white, and we're cool. But it's like, no.
To be fair, though, that is a pretty awesome costume for ladies to wear on Halloween.
It is a cool Halloween costume and stuff, but, like, people who idolize this movie, they shouldn't. Because they literally, like, break into a person's house, rape the lady,
yeah,
and stuff like that. It's like, that's not cool.
And plus, yeah, by the end, he kind of shows, like, we had an error in our ways.
Yeah.
This isn't right.
Because then, like, once he gets out of prison, he meets all the people he fucked over.
Yeah.
And it's like, holy shit. But, yeah, I thought it was good. I gave it a 7.5.
And this is, I would say this is a movie I have to watch yet, which I didn't watch with you, so I'm going to, later on, I'll have, like, a quick little synopsis.
Yeah, because you've seen it once before, so you, like, know the basic gist of it. So it's not like I spoiled anything.
No.
But... Yeah, I mean, Kubrick had a way of, you know, a way with movies, so, and he did a really good job on that.
Mm-hmm.
Next month I get to watch Shining.
Yay. All right, this next movie I watched was one of the movies I watched for fun. Resident Evil Retribution, that's like the fucking, I don't know, 5th one.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's 5.
Yeah, the 6th one's coming out in like 2 years. I like Resident Evil games. The first movie was decent.
I liked the first movie.
The first movie was good, but I give like a 7 at best.
Yeah,
and then probably gave a 7 as well. Go downhill from there. But
well, I think, yeah, I think the first Resident Evil was good because it was like a unique movie at the time. There's so many movies like it now.
Yeah.
But at the time when that came out, you're like, holy crap!
Yeah, it's like it was unique for the video game franchise to have a movie that was different from the game, but had similarities to it.
Yeah.
But now it's just a clusterfuck. Like,
hey, now it's just like, let's just kill references. Things.
Yeah, this movie, I gave it a 6. Not the worst Resident Evil movie, which is sad, because it's not good. I just gave it a 6 because it's a Resident Evil movie, and there's references in the movie I liked. But it's almost like they're just tossing them in there because they can. to have a character from the game.
It's like, this person's sitting at the bus stop. Oh, that's Jill. Or something like that.
No, but it's like this is the first movie that Barry, whatever his name is, Barry. You know, if you play the first game, you know who Barry is. Jill Sandwich. But he's in the movie for the first time, like, blood. Yeah, it's he looks like him, and he has the same, yeah, I hope it's not Chris's blood. but he's in the movie, and he looks just like him. I'm like, this isn't the same character. It just looks like him and has the same name. Why is he here? Like, it doesn't, like, the plot, there's no, none of the same plot. And then you get excited, he's like, oh, this is the villain from Resident Evil 5, where he's, like, just this big, giant guy with a giant hammer. And the creepiest thing about the game is he's hard to kill.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not hard to kill, it just takes time. And he's slow, but if he hits you once, you're dead. So what do they have? They put two of them, and they run. Fuck you. and it's like the plot, I want to say that loosely, the whole plot of the Resident Evil movies, there's an overall plot, slowly, small, very stupid, but at the same time it's like, you don't need this big of a plot, but it's just basically, you see at the very beginning and then the very end of the movie, where it's like, stay tuned for the next one, and then the whole middle is just, let's see how many different ways we can have Mila Jovovich jump around and kick zombies in the faces. It's just an action movie, but she's hot and I like her. But, yeah, 6. That's it.
Yeah. I think I only saw up to 3 for Resident Evil movies.
Was it the desert one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one was the...
That was
probably the worst.
And that's why I stopped.
And then the fourth one is not good either. They're just on a rooftop, the whole movie.
Yeah.
They land a plane on the rooftop, and they fly off with the rooftop. Like, well, how the fuck... It's a rooftop. You can't fly an airplane off a rooftop. Fuck it. And I forgot to mention, this movie, the first 4 minutes... is slow motion reverse of an action scene that takes place half hour into the movie. Fucking stupid. The next movie I watched was from a list, Gunga Din.
Gunga Din. Is it a caveman movie?
No. It's like a 1930s movie. It takes place in India when the British were in control of India, and it's sort of like a military sort of movie. But I read on IMDb, someone quoted it as, it's one of those war is fun type movies because it's Cary Grant.
War is fun.
It's Cary Grant and some of that. I can't remember who the other actors are, but I just know the main character is Cary Grant. But what happens is, like, hey, I heard about, like, they're just doing stuff and one of the guys is going to leave because he's getting married. And like, oh, us three, we're good friends. You can't leave the military. And it's a boring movie. But it's a lot like, have you seen the movie Three Kings? With George Clooney, Mark Wahlberg, and whatever the
other
guy is. I watched it, I'm like, this is the exact same movie. Yep, that's it. It's like, this is the exact same movie.
Looking at the cover of the DVD, or the movie poster, I'm like, it looks like it could be Three Kings.
One of the main character, Cary Grant, or in Three Kings, George Clooney, he finds out there's a city made of gold, which in Three Kings is like, hey, a giant gold deposit. So he's like, I'm going to go over there and check it out. And then they're like, oh, okay, go check it out. And then he gets kidnapped, so the other guys go in and try to help him out and stuff like that. But there's a few action scenes. It was a very slow movie. It's like, 2.5 hours maybe? And the DVD I rented from the library was scratched at some parts, so it skipped over a little bit. But it was not entertaining very much. And I felt bad because it's in India. And you know they didn't get, in the 30s, they didn't get Indian actors. They got white actors, painted them, and like, oh, let me help you, sir. And the main character, and the character Gunga Din, he was like a guy who helped him out. But then at the end, he's like, I'm the hero, and all that stuff. That it's just like, it was weird. It's like, oh, and then yeah,
fuck it says it's just shy of 2 hours.
Yeah, okay, whatever. It felt like 2.5 hours. But the weirdest thing about the movie though was at the very end of the credits. Like, a certain character dies. I'm not going to say who it is if you feel like watching the movie. But then they were singing Auld Lang Syne, or Auld Lang Syne, which was weird because all you hear about is New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, the music was playing. It's like, do, 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 do. Like, that sounds like Auld Lang Syne. And then they started singing it. Like, that's so weird for a funeral. Like, I suppose that's almost 80 years ago. That, you know, like, I'm sure that, yeah, it makes sense that all the friends that we forgot and all that whatever. I'm like, yeah.
Is it a funny movie?
It's, like I said, it's a war is fun type movie. Okay. It's a 1930s, like, Yeah, it has comedic actions in it, but it's not like laugh out loud funny. It's like, oh, look at these guys, look how tough I am. Like, one of the very parts of the beginning they kind of laughed at was when they're having a brawl, mm-hmm. and that guy breaks a chair for his back, and he just turns around like, and looks at him like, what the fuck was that? And like, oh shit, and then he runs away. That was kind of funny, but it's like that kind of humor.
Yeah.
Like, it's a lighthearted. But yeah, I gave it a 4.5.
So, not gonna watch that again.
Yeah. And then another movie I watched a Woody Allen movie, Manhattan, earlier, very, very early in this.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't care for it. And I'm not a huge Woody Allen fan. I'm like, Annie Hall. After watching Annie Hall, oh God.
That one I heard is his best one.
It was very good. I'm mad because I only gave it a lower score than I should have, so I'm going to change it before I do this. But, yeah, it's very good. Like, it's one of those where he'll come out, like, just talk to the camera once in a while, mm-hmm. and then he'll have, like, funny little flashbacks and stuff, and it's very comedic. I liked it actually a lot, and by the end of the movie, it's not obvious about this one girl he started dating, and all the times, like, they shared and stuff like that, and it was one of those where she liked him and he liked her, but it didn't work out. Mm-hmm. So it was like, whenever they broke up, they would just try to find reasons to hang out with each other, or like, oh, come to my house, this, you can stay if you want, you know, that type of thing. And after they broke up and stuff like that, he would try to recreate certain scenarios with other women and stuff, and it was actually pretty funny, because he's like, oh, I can't do this. She's like, why are you doing that? Because, look, oh, no, what do I do? She's like, just pick it up. And it was actually pretty funny, but it was like, actually, I felt a little sore in my heart afterwards. I'm like, it's thinking of the whole movie, I'm like, that was actually a good relationship for them, and they don't have that anymore. It's like, it's sad. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like a realistic, emotional, like, romantic movie, but it was actually really good. Better than I thought it was going to be. And it was very witty and like, just when you would talk to the camera and explain things, it was actually pretty funny. So yeah, I gave it a 6.5. Diane Keaton and Woody Allen are the two main characters. Which I almost felt like it was a prequel to Manhattan, because, like, in Manhattan, it's like Diane Keaton. It's not obviously the same, not the same characters, but Diane Keaton, I think, is his ex-wife, and then it's him as the main character. But yeah, and of course, every movie he writes himself as who he is. He's like, he's always a writer in every movie and stuff like that. But yeah, 6.5 was good. I liked it.
Cool. I saw The Exorcist.
I like it.
I saw it a long time ago as well, and then I watched this one, which was the extended cut.
Yeah, there's some parts that kind of drag on a little longer.
And I was like, as I was watching, I'm like, is this new, or did I just forget? Like, I didn't remember stuff, because apparently the mom is an actress and stuff, and they were, like, filming part of the movie and stuff, and I'm like, I don't know if I remember this.
I think a lot of that was added, because
I don't remember the acting, like... And then she had, like, an autograph. She did autographs and stuff. And I'm like, I don't really remember this.
I remember reading that in the book. And then the movie, when I watched the movie, I was like... No, I think I watched the movie first, and then I read the book.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, oh, wow, they put a whole bunch of stuff in, like, that they didn't have in the movie. And then when I watched it, I'm like, it's familiar, but it's not familiar because I read it, but I didn't see it, type thing.
And then, like, the girl was getting MRI scans and stuff like that. And I'm like, I don't know if I remember that either. But... It probably did, because there was a lot more, like, trying to figure out what the hell was wrong with her.
She just comes down to the party and just pisses her pants.
Yeah. And I'm just like, because a lot of it was just them trying to figure out what is wrong with this girl.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time they, like, do the last resort, it's, like, pretty much too late.
Yeah.
And then shit happens. Yeah. But in case people have never seen it or don't know what Exorcist is about, it's about a girl who gets possessed.
Yeah.
And an exorcism is when the church comes and tries to get the demon out of you.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the entire first half of the movie, like, she's hearing noises, she's flying, and, you know, like, the mom's, like, really worried.
The kid is acting really weird.
Yeah, and people are like, oh, there's got to be a logical reason for this. And then, and they finally get to a last resort, and it's exorcism, and they're like, the church doesn't do this anymore. That's, like, old days and stuff. And then, like... Yeah.
They pull in a priest that, like, has history.
Because the movie starts with them digging up basically artifacts that they think that, you know, the demon came from. But
yeah. And I've watched all the Exorcist movies. The prequel is actually pretty good.
Right.
The second one is a piece of shit.
Because isn't the prequel, like, lead up to the, like...
It's like the first priest, the older priest.
You know, the one that falls down the stairs and stuff. Yeah,
the first priest, it shows him like when he was in, I want to say Africa.
Yeah, that's where they're digging up the stuff.
And it shows...
I don't know if it's Africa, but...
But it shows like him, like, going, is it like a priest there in town? And they're like, hey, come here, help us. There's a weird thing. They found a temple buried in the sand. And like they, and then after they start digging it up, weird shit's happening in the town.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, but it's, yeah... Second one is shit because it's a sequel, and the girl's like, "Am I still possessed?" And the third one just follows the cop, the detective dude, George C. Scott, mm-hmm. I think. And like, and he's there's like murders happening, and it's similar to a serial killer that is dead, mm-hmm. and he's like, and he's trying to figure stuff out, and he's talking to his old priest friends and stuff like that. But
yeah, so I've seen The Exorcist before. It was okay. I mean, it's worth watching. But I wouldn't say it's amazing.
I think the added stuff kind of brought it down a little bit.
Probably. I gave it a 7 out of 10.
Okay.
So it's still good, but it's like... In the 7 out of 10, The Exorcist, this is the worst movie I saw this month. Ooh. So that just shows you that I had a lot of good movies this month.
Yeah.
So that was The Exorcist. And then...
I still have 3 more left.
I have 2, so I'll do another one.
Okay.
And then it brings me to the movie I watched... That I haven't seen before. The only one I haven't seen before this month. And it's Her. The Joaquin Phoenix movie. Which was really good. Like. Yeah. I was watching it. And I'm like. The trailers. You know. The trailers made me want to watch it and stuff. But I feel like. They left out a key thing in the trailers. That would have meant. I think more people would want to see it.
Uh-huh.
Is. Because everyone's like, oh, it's a guy who dates a computer. Ah, ha, ha, ha. And I'm like, yeah, it is.
There's reasoning behind it?
But there is. Okay. Like, basically, he's going through a divorce with his wife.
Okay.
And it's, you know, obviously it's getting him depressed and shit like that. So that's how the connection with his computer happens, is because it's the only person that'll listen to him.
Oh, okay.
And respond to him and stuff. So... And the computer actually makes him kind of a better person, but then, like, I don't know. There's a lot of ups and downs.
Yeah.
But...
Which is life.
Yeah, which is life. But I'm like, oh, so it's not just a loser who can't get a girl.
Yeah.
That's what I kept getting out of it. But then I'm like, oh, wait, this guy did have a relationship, and he's going through a really hard time. I'm like, well, that changes the whole movie to mm-hmm. me. I thought it was really good. It was... Yeah, it hurt my heart a lot in the movie, like, because some of the scenes seemed too real, like, holy crap. And Spike Jonze is amazing.
Well, he's good with emotion.
Yeah, like, he can, like, convey emotion just by watching, no audio and stuff, just, mm-hmm. like, looking. I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah, that's a good director, and, like, you don't have to be like, oh, I'm sad, but just looking at a person's face and like, oh, there's a lot of shit going on.
Yeah.
A picture worth a thousand words type thing.
Yeah. It was really good. And yeah, it's because obviously this kind of takes place in the future when there's more electronics than we have now, where everyone has like a super smartphone that's connected to their computer at home.
Advanced Siri.
Yeah. Like imagine Siri like on your phone, but it's linked to your computer at home.
Yeah. And to give you better responses than, oh, I don't know.
But, like, so it's like if you have, I guess it's like the cloud type thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I liked it a lot. I gave it a 7.5.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of parts that were slow, and some parts did seem to jump quite a bit. Like, there could have been more transition in some scenes. But overall, I just, the look and feel of the movie was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Very emotional, I thought. And, yeah. It's good.
The next movie I watched, a little backstory. I couldn't find it on Netflix. The library we have rents a lot of DVDs, and I found it there.
Mm-hmm.
I rented it, didn't watch it, rented it again, didn't watch it. Rented it later, didn't watch it, rented it again, didn't watch it. And then by the time I watched it, I had rented it 5 times. And I was like, they probably think I'm a weirdo at the library. Like, man, he really loves All That Jazz. But with a name like All That Jazz, oh, shit. I don't... That's not the kind of movie I'd want to watch. But it's Roy Scheider from Jaws. Jaws fame, in case you didn't know who he is. And I'm like... And it's a realistic movie, like, based on a guy's life. I'm like,
oh.
Fuck this. I'm not going to like it. I liked it. It was really good. It's about a guy, and it's basically, like, I guess, Bob Fosse's life, but they made things a little more out there, because otherwise the movie wouldn't have been as good, probably. And also, things happened in the movie that obviously probably didn't happen to him in real life, because otherwise he wouldn't have been able to make the movie. But it's about a guy who is a really great director for plays. And so, like, it starts off, and the first, like, 10 minutes is just basically people auditioning for a play, just dancing and jumping around and singing and stuff. Great part of the movie. I think it was, like, made in the 80s, early 80s. Great part of it, a lot of girls in leotards.
Nice.
Bad part of the movie, a lot of guys in leotards.
Nice.
But no, but then, like, it would have, like, parts of the movie, but then it would, like, there would have these little cuts here and there where he's talking to somebody,
mm-hmm.
and you just have that feel of, like, this is an out-of-body experience right now. Like, he's either, like, dreaming and talking to somebody. This is a mysterious woman. And he's like, oh, yeah, this happened. My mother was always like this, and I never learned that. She's like, yeah, but what about your wife? Well, my wife, she never, like, we never really understood each other or stuff like that. And it's like, it just had this really weird, like, this isn't in, like, normal world type stuff, and it, like, and that always intrigued me, like, the whole time, like, what's happening. But then you find out as he's starting this new play, and he's like, this is gonna be great, but it's really risky. There's, like, nudity and people, like, thrusting each other and, like, and really sexual scenes and songs and stuff like that, and, like, this isn't gonna work. How are we gonna get people to buy tickets for this? But it's a $1 million production.
Mm-hmm.
And then he finds out that he his heart is really bad and weak, and he ends up going to the hospital, and, like, you need to rest for at least, like, 6 weeks, otherwise you're gonna die. And he's like, no, I have this play to do. Like, no, you need to rest. Your body's gonna wear out and you're gonna die. But then obviously he doesn't give a shit, because he's like, ah, I don't care, I'm having fun, life is fun, right? And he's just fucking around the hospital and stuff like that, and it's like, and, like, all these visions start coming more and more and more, and there's, like, these weird dance numbers and songs, mm-hmm. and it's, like, it gets really fucked up, but the whole time I was like, this is very fun, this is interesting, and I liked it a lot. And for a movie called All That Jazz, there's little to no jazz at all. There's near the end, there's, like, a lot of dance numbers and singing and stuff, but it's interesting enough that I didn't get bored with them. So, like, for a musical-type movie, it was really good. I gave it a 7.5. Like, I'd watch it again.
There you go.
The next movie I watched, It's a Wonderful Life, which is a wonderful movie. I had to say that.
No, you didn't. You did not say that.
Another movie I was disregarded by wanting to see it because of all the things that people talk about it.
Right.
It's a Christmas movie. It's a good-hearted, like, a guy...
He wants to die,
and then the whole movie is spent explaining to him, like, why he shouldn't die. Wrong.
No?
It's
that's what the movie was.
Kind of. It's, I want to say, like, a 2-hour-15 movie, it's about. The first, Christmas doesn't happen until hour 1:15. Like, maybe the last hour-ish, finally Christmas kicks in. But the first hour and 15 is him going through life. Like, basically, it's like, oh, the very beginning of the movie is like, oh, help my dad. Like, people praying to God. And he's like, oh, wait, we need to send an angel down there to help him. And, like, wait, hold on. Let me tell you about his life first. So, like God and St. Peter, like, explain to his angel.
What?
Yeah, explains to the angel, like, oh, and then showing him, like, all his life and, like, what a good person he is and all the things he's done for the town and all this other stuff like that. But then shit hits the fan because there's this, like, giant Monopoly-type guy in town. He's like, I want to own everything. Fuck the people. I want money. So he ends up almost like, and then at partway through the movie, he owes the bank money,
mm-hmm.
and the guy bringing the money to the bank loses it, like $8,000, and back then, you know, it's a lot of money. So he's like, oh God, and then he finds out he's going to get arrested because for treason, or not treason, but like tax fraud and all this other stuff. He's like, I've tried my whole life to help this town, and I just lost it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, fuck this, I'm gonna kill myself. And then the angel comes and is like, hey, hold on. It's almost like an extended Twilight Zone episode, because he's like, he goes to the other town, and, like, he's real in that town.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the angel and him are, like, people see them. He's like, hey, John, I worked with you here. He's like, what are you talking about? I've been drunk my whole life, and like he gets into fights with people and stuff like that, and it's like, you know, at the end, like, oh, everything works out.
I'm drunk my whole
life. I don't know. Like, but it explains like all these, it shows all these little things in the beginning, like, this is gonna lead to something. They won't just show this for no reason. And like, oh shit, if he wasn't there, this would have happened, this would have happened, this would have happened, like all that stuff. It's actually pretty cool, like the way they did it. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure like back in the day that was revolutionary. But it was still a great movie. But yeah, Jimmy Stewart's in it being awesome.
I was guessing by your impression.
Yeah. But yeah, it's one of those movies that even though it's a happy ending, after I was done, I'm like, I'm still sad because that town, that guy's still there, and he sucks, and all these people are, like, sacrificing all this stuff for, I'm like, it's a happy movie, but at the same time, like, everyone's lives still sucks. But yeah, I mean, it was still good. I give it a 7. I feel weird calling it a Christmas movie because it's, like I said, it doesn't show up until, like, the last maybe hour of the movie, but then it's still, you get a flashback where it's not even Christmas, and then you come back to Christmas, and then it's like, so maybe Christmas exists 20 minutes of the movie, you know? It's like calling Die Hard 3 an Independence Day movie.
I didn't see it.
I don't know if that's Independence Day or not. I don't know.
I can't believe that. I just realized that I watched Die Hard 1 and 2, and then I didn't watch any of the other ones.
3 is good.
Same. I want to see 3, because 3 is the one where they do, like, they run around town trying to figure out puzzles. Yeah, and that's stuff I want to know.
Die Hard 3 is basically Grand Theft Auto 3 and Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then I have one movie left. Go ahead.
I have one.
Okay. Apocalypse Now. I always shy away from war movies because they're war movies. And it's like, yeah, these guys are fighting.
Oh, and then people die.
And Apocalypse Now is a Vietnam movie. Vietnam, yes, I get it. We America went into it, got their asses kicked, the end. But this starts off and there's a plot right away, and I'm like, I want to see how this plays out, because Martin Sheen is this like guy who a captain or something in Vietnam, I think captain. I could be wrong. Sorry if I'm wrong, but they have an order for him saying, "Hey, we need you to travel all the way up to not Singapore. That's not right. Travel up to some country. I think it starts with an S. And we had this guy in the army, and he went AWOL, killed a bunch of people that he thought were double agents.
Oh, geez.
And he's insane. We need you to go and kill him. But he's way the fuck up the river in Vietnam. So you have to go through a lot of shit to get to him, but we need you to kill him." And the guy, and so it's like Martin Sheen going up to try to kill, what's his name?
I didn't see the movie.
I'm trying to do a Godfather impression.
Yeah. Marlon Brando.
Marlon Brando. There we go. So Marlon Brando is like the guy, and Martin Sheen's going up there, and really with a really young Lawrence Fishburne and a couple of other actors. So they're going up in a boat, and it's like all along the way, like they're hitting all these like things where shit is going down and stuff like that. But it's really cool because, and it's based on the book Heart of Darkness, I guess, which is a really good book, but it's like loosely based on it. But like every once in a while, like the whoever directed the sound of that movie and the director of photography and all that other stuff, because it's a Francis Ford Coppola movie, and he's obviously a well-known director, but like the movie almost peaks at a horror film, like just the attitude and the feel of the movie, except for the lighthearted parts. But it's like the whole time, like, this is more than just a war movie. And of course Martin Sheen's going through like the papers and stuff like that and reading about all the stuff that Marlon Brando's character did, and all finding out, it's like, it's a really cool, like, very ominous, like, character you're gonna come meet. And then when you get to the end, it's just like the fucking place that he's at is like, it's so, like, it almost feels like it's a little bit beyond normal life, like a little bit beyond into the supernatural. It's like, I don't know what it is, but it's a really fucking cool movie, and it's like, I want to buy it and watch it again. I really do. Like, I liked it a lot. I gave it an 8. Probably should give it an 8 and a 5. Changing it to 8 and a 5. 8.5.
8 and a 5.
8 and a 5. So I'm going to change that to 8.5.
It's like 5 pens behind your laptop.
Right? I know. I can't see
that. And another one who gives you the pen. All
right. So yeah, I gave it 8.5. Martin Sheen is really good in it. And Harrison Ford makes a little, like, brief thing in it. I'm like, oh, that's weird. But then I realized, wait, He's in Star Wars already, so he's a well-known actor. He has a just tiny bit part with glasses and, like, it's which is really weird. But, yeah, that was a good movie. Jason,
what's your... Cambodia.
Cambodia. That's it. They're headed to Cambodia.
Yeah. And the last movie I saw for the month of June was One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yay!
Which I've seen before. Uh-huh. And it's funny because I watched... Last time I watched this and...
Cool Hand Luke.
Cool Hand Luke, like, back to back. And those movies are very, very similar.
Uh-huh.
Like, this time I had more, like, I had a month in between. But after I finished it, like, I'm watching One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and I'm like, I remember myself saying, these are similar. And I'm like, I don't really see how they're similar. And then as I was watching the movie, I'm like, oh, yeah, it is very similar. It's like, because it's like, basically both movies take place where there's a bunch of people, and a new person comes in, and basically shakes up and changes everything in there. But, yeah, obviously Cool Hand Luke's in, like, jail.
Yeah.
And this is in a mental institution.
Which is like a jail.
Yeah, it's like a jail. Because some of them are there because of crimes. But, yeah, it's... Watching this again, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest,
mm-hmm.
is really good. In case people don't know, Jack Nicholson gets put into a mental institution. I forget why he...
I think it's more like he's not.
Oh, because he's like, he has a gambling problem.
Yeah,
he has a gambling problem. He's put in there because of his gambling problem.
I haven't watched a movie in years, but yeah,
okay. Yeah, yeah. Because he's always trying to like, who thinks I can do this? I'll bet you. And like, yeah. And Danny DeVito's in this.
Yeah,
but he doesn't seem like Danny DeVito at all. And I was like, holy crap,
he's a little
Danny DeVito could act.
Yeah,
like now he can act. But I mean, like. Then he could really act. Like
he could expand his
Christopher Lloyd
that's as well. Right.
Holy crap! Like this was such a good movie, and yeah. After I finished it, I'm not gonna spoil the ending or anything. But I was just like, "Holy crap!" Like I just kept thinking about the end of that movie over and over,
mm-hmm.
and I was just like, "This is such a good movie." One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
I'm trying to remember who like some of the other. There's like a few other people that were in the movie that were notable as well. Like later on.
Those are, like, the big ones.
Because, like, the little guy. What's his nuts? The guy that had a stutter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
he's kind of, but I can't... I mean, I've seen him, but I can't place him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that movie was really good, especially the second time watching it, knowing... Because a lot of people know the ending of sorts.
Oh, yeah, what that guy, but, too.
Remembering it from earlier, like it's like a lot of stuff at the end is callbacks to things from earlier in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I was gonna say Ellis.
One I gave an 8.5.
The guy played Ellis, who was the guy that from X-Files and stuff like that. Was that weird, like
yeah.
kind of deformed head and he also have eyes and all that stuff.
But yeah, Nurse Ratched's a bitch.
Yes.
Is one thing you get out of that movie is Nurse Ratched's a bitch. And Jack Nicholson's character, Mac, is a loose cannon.
Yeah, I was going to say the lady who played Louise Fletcher, she does a lot of stuff too. I can't think of stuff. Flowers in the Attic she was in, which I had somebody in Netflix queue that I've like had a meaning to watch that many times, but yeah.
Yeah, so my highest movie was a 9.5 with Breakfast Club. The lowest was 7 with Exorcist.
My highest was 8.5 with Chinatown, Schindler's List, and Apocalypse Now. My lowest was... I added a 0.5 to the Schindler's List and Apocalypse Now, too, didn't I? Yeah. And my lowest was Gunga Din with a 4.5, so almost doubled it.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, yeah, those are 10 of my movies. Boom.
So, I am... we're both like at our halfway points yeah. for our goal, and it's halfway through the year.
Yeah.
So we are right on track.
Yeah. We're getting close.
We're right on track. So we haven't failed. At the beginning of the year, we're like,
yeah.
We're like, oh, we're going to fall behind really fast. You fell behind. But
I fell behind really fast.
And then you gained back up. So you just got to keep up now.
Yeah.
Now that you caught back up to where you're supposed to be. Well,
the problem is now I've used up a lot of resources. Like, a bunch of the movies I have left aren't on Netflix anymore, and I don't find them at the library. So I'm going to have to either
You'll have to give me a list of the ones you need.
Well, I'm going to have to see if people I know have them, or hit up the Family Video in town.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you give me the list, I can see if I know anybody who has them, too. Yeah,
that's good, too. But other than that, if you want to have us watch any movies and review them, email me at stuffbyscott, STUFFBYSCOTT, at gmail.com, stuffbyscott@gmail. Otherwise, if you watch some of these movies based on what we talked about, and give me your information and let me know if you liked it or what you thought about it, if you liked it or hated it, based on our suggestions, let me know. Other than that,
that's a wrap.
That's a wrap.